Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
As we're getting into later in the year, where we usually have, you know, the holiday season and things like that, one of the topics that we notice comes up a lot, but also I would say with COVID, this has been a bigger topic that I feel like is a daily thing to approach, is loneliness and isolation.
So we did a podcast on the feeling of feeling lonely earlier on. So I just want to mention that if you want more information on the topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we based it off of the Brené Brown information and some other stuff we'd gotten. And speaking of which, Taylor's opening up a book. If you ever hear that in the background.
I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I could, but it's okay. I hear everything.
I see this come up a lot where people try and say that the only way they can regulate is by being alone for long periods of time. And this is different than taking a short break. And I see it a lot with teenagers who struggle with having stressful home lives, as they'll isolate a lot. And so I really want to identify that there's a difference between this idea of regulating and taking a time to yourself, and then isolating, and how too much isolation can move us into loneliness and other mental health issues.
I think it's also being very aware of, you know, introvert and extrovert behaviors, of what someone is. I love that talk about introvert behaviors and how we need to stop trying to make everyone get to be an extrovert. And it's the idea of like embracing that. Personally, I identify as an extroverted introvert. So I can definitely pass off as being extroverted when I need to. But for me, I mean, that alone time is my huge recharge time. But there is a balance of, okay, me being alone, doing things that's recharging me, that's great. And I don't think there's a time limit that puts it over to the isolation. It's just the intent behind it, right? So it's the idea of saying, if I'm doing this and I'm doing it because I want to hide from people because I'm scared to go out to talk to them, or I'm scared about this, or they're way too anxiety ridden or whatever, that's different than saying, okay, that's too much and I just need a break, right? Not even a break, but I need to go back to my center. I don't recharge well when I'm with huge groups of people. It's fun, but I don't feel recharged after often. And so I usually, for me, it's that one-on-one time that helps recharge. And so I think with loneliness and isolation, just identifying for you, sometimes that's a hard thing to do too, because a lot of people want to be an extrovert. So they want to say like, no, I love recharging with people. And I think that that's one of the biggest things I see with people, is they say, no, I love being around people. It recharges me. But it's totally okay to admit if that's not the truth at times. And so I think just being able to really key in and address that for yourself, there's no assessment that you can take that's really going to tell it to you 100%. It's really just paying attention to how your body's reacting.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love that. One of the things that I find is that I, like you, can enjoy socialization and I recharge alone. I have some hobbies and stuff I do by myself that I enjoy. The other thing, though, that I recognize is that I recharge with really safe relationships. So that's different than just really socially stimulating relationships. So safe relationships, I can hang out with my sister for hours and that will recharge me and doesn't feel draining, where there are other activities with, you know, larger groups of people or maybe people I don't know that charge differently. So I love that you're bringing that up, because there's only one way to do it, but you have to pay attention to yourself, like Haley was saying.
Yeah, there's no hard, fast rule.
And the reason for that is that loneliness, according to Brené Brown in her research, is the absence of meaningful social interaction, an intimate relationship, friendship, family gatherings, even community or work group connections. So the reason why different relationships are more recharging than others is because of the meaningfulness in that connection.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So the American Psychological Association in May of 2019 did an article on the risk of social isolation. So this was just right, just 10 months before COVID. Mm-hmm. But they talked in here about there was already a problem with social isolation and loneliness, and that perceived level of isolation is also important, not just the actual level, but their perceived level. And I love that that connects with what you're talking about, which is the actual depth of connection, not just how many people have you been around recently.
Yeah, I think when we talk about like, oh, if I'm not lonely, we're talking, a lot of people assume it's like, no, I hang out with a bunch of people. Like I go and do a bunch of different things and see a bunch of different people. And, you know, really it's more of a matter of, it's more, what's the quality of the people you're hanging out with? Not like them morally as a person, but more just like the quality of friendships, right? Are we talking about just random groups of people you meet at a bar or people you meet like at, I don't know, the dog park or whoever, like, you know, these people who like are just these groups, you know, it's a place that's very social. Are we talking about that? Or are we talking about like, you know, Jen was saying like her sister or, you know, coworkers that we really get along with, or, you know, just a really good friend or a really good neighbor, people who the quality of the relationship is very different than just like the entertainment value of a big group of people. And so I think that's the number one thing I've had from people, especially in Utah. One of the biggest social areas people will meet people is church, which is great. I think that's awesome that they have found a community, but a lot of people, they fill their time with all these different things and being around all these different people, but then they still feel lonely. And then they're like, what's wrong with me that I feel lonely after being around these different groups of people all the time? And that's probably a pretty good indicator and like temperature taker of like, hey, maybe the quality of the relationships aren't what you need, right? Just as our body needs sodium and tells us by like craving salt, our body and our mental state and our emotional state, it needs a connection in some way. And it's showing that I don't feel that connection by showing us that we feel lonely or isolated.
It's really common for people to feel lonely in groups, in, you know, at school, at work, going to parties and things like that, because you don't feel connected to the people around you. And what
it's easy to hide in those areas too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're numbing through substances, or you're just lost in a crowd because you don't feel seen and heard.
And I'll even add that sometimes in your own home, when you're really busy and you don't have time to connect, I've experienced where I feel like I have a really good relationship with my husband, but when we have a lot of work and we haven't had time to connect and talk, I can start to feel lonely. And the relationship isn't necessarily a bad relationship as much as I have to be more intentional about the connection. And that's when, for us, like getting out and going on a walk and getting away from screens or going on vacation is really reconnecting for us. And so it's, lonely isn't necessarily about the quality of the relationship as much as the intention and how you're using that interaction.
Yeah. Like what's am I connecting or am I distracting while I'm with someone? Right. So like, what's that look like? There'll be times that like, I love Joe. He loves distraction. He loves YouTube. He loves his games. He loves his things like that. He's very good at connecting. But every once in a while, it's usually because I haven't told him I'm trying to connect with him and I'm just assuming this is what we're doing. Like we'll be going on a walk or something with the dogs and he's on his phone playing his game. And we're in step. Well, actually, usually I'm about 10 steps ahead of him, but just because I walk faster. We're not in the same realm, right? And in that moment, it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm so lonely and this is the worst, but I'm like, oh, wow, this doesn't feel very connecting. And I'll usually tell him and be like, hey, what's going on? How's your day going? Let's kind of connect here. And he's great about like, if I tell him this is what I'm feeling, he's great about like, you know, turning towards is what the Gottmans say, like, okay, let's engage. Let's talk about this. But like, it's in those like little things, like we're within like a foot of each other and we're doing the exact same activity, but it still doesn't feel connecting. So that loneliness isolation can definitely, that isolation can breed in that environment so well if we allow it to continue without addressing it. Or I don't know, it's also okay to say, oh, this is both of our moments of quiet, you know, that's okay too. So just depending on what we're identifying is this activity needing to be for us.
Yeah, let's, I want to talk a little bit about isolation. So isolation is not the same thing as lonely. Mm-hmm. Isolation, how would you guys describe it to somebody if you were like, oh, that's not lonely, that's isolation?
I would say that you're purposefully or unknowingly separating yourself from connection, from being seen and heard by other people.
I mean, looking at like isolation in jail, I think identifying that the person has the need to connect and they are intentionally being kept away from it, whether by themselves or someone else.
Yeah, I forget what episode we were talking about solitary confinement, but.
And it got really deep and dark.
Yeah, really dark. But yeah, you'll, without human contact, even with people that you want to or don't want to be around, you begin to hallucinate because the brain needs connection.
Yeah. So when we're talking about this kind of social isolation or just typical daily isolation that you would experience in the real world, not in like a penitentiary situation. To put it on that scale, based off what Taylor's saying, yeah, I think it is like someone who is a human who has basic needs and is intentionally being kept away from it. Again, you can keep yourself away from it. You can put yourself in isolation. Absolutely. Right. Or someone else. I mean, I could even say isolation could be seen even on the playground, right? With the mean girls and no one talked to so-and-so. That happened to me quite a few times as a kid. And to be fair, sure, I wasn't the coolest kid to be around, but
you are now.
I know. Look at that butterfly. But no, it was one of those things that for me, I liked to read and I liked to honestly, like I was the tall, gawky, usually had braces, glasses, and frizzy hair that I didn't know was curly back then. And, you know, for the short, blonde, straight-haired wimps that were out on the field that were,
just add that wimp in there.
That were doing that. No, that was one of the cruelest things, right? I'm not saying I'd rather have things made fun of, but at the same time, like isolation, to be told like, ooh, no one hang out with her, she's weird, right? That, we see that on the playground. We see that in high school. We see that also as adults, right? We see that in places. And so that's the, I'm not intentionally isolating myself part, but I think we're also looking specifically at the, what do I do when I isolate
myself? Some people are intentionally isolated.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I want to talk a little bit about that because I sometimes hear people say, nobody is coming to me. Nobody is reaching out to me. Nobody is actively pursuing me. And I feel really lonely. And I know what I would respond to that. I just wonder, Taylor and Haley, if you find that people say the same thing to you, is they're kind of saying it's someone else's job to address my loneliness. It just makes me
think of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. She's like,
Charlie Bucket.
Now. And he's like, you do it for me. And like, you're supposed to do this for me. And you're supposed to do that for me. And like, maybe that's like an extreme case. But for when I hear that, I always want to like take a step back and be like, okay, but what is it you really want? Because I'm hearing you want them to do this for you, but what does that even mean? Like, if you're looking at it with like that character who's like saying that, and Charlie, like, you're like, what do you actually want? And it's probably for someone to like pay attention to her. And she sees that as only people fulfilling her physical needs. And so I think for us, like when I hear that from people, I don't even think about, oh, she's saying she needs more time with me. I will do that. I'm usually saying, okay, what is all of that going to give you? Not in the sense of I won't do it and help you, but like, what is that going to do to help? What are you trying to gain from that? Are you trying to gain feelings of love? Are you trying to gain feelings of being paid attention? So it's just, I think, yeah, that's my first step.
I remember this. I was on this high school trip and some other high schools from different states were on it. We all met up. The other states were from the South. The kids were all Baptist. They found out my high school wasn't Baptist, so they didn't want to hang out with us for the first few days. And then they realized that maybe we were also just normal teenagers. And so they started hanging out with us. There was this one girl in their high school, though, that I think was used to rejection. And so on a train from one city to another city, we were just playing cards in a room. I don't remember what we were playing, but she was standing outside of the room, the train car, looking out the window. And this teacher from, I think it was the Mississippi or Texas high school, just came barging in on fire. How dare you isolate her? How dare you this and that? You bring her in here. And we're like, whoa, easy, Tex. Like, we invited her. The door is not locked. She did not want to come in here.
Yeah.
And good for that teacher for being on fire on behalf of another kid. And I think some people are so used to being rejected and isolated that when a hand of friendship is offered, that it feels like betrayal waiting to happen.
So there's just people's personal preferences, I think, that we need to remember too. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, so I go to a gym class. I go to many gym classes, but I should probably stop saying that, or else people are going to start playing drinking games by the amount of times I say what classes I go to.
Think of your liver.
I know. But I go to one class and it's pretty fun. And I personally, she's always the instructor who's like, everyone get together and kind of get close to one another while we're doing this. And this is great. And I like my space. So it's also good to also recognize too, like, I'm not a touchy-feely person in that way. Like, I don't, you know, when it comes to like me in a physical situation, I like to have my space so that I can really like feel comfortable doing what I'm doing. So I think it's okay. Like with what Taylor's saying, it can be a fear of rejection. It could also be personal preference of just what is that person doing? So I'm still available and I'm interacting with the class. I'm not like off doing my own thing, but I do like to, I'm not exactly going to be in the mosh pit, right? And so when it comes to that, I think when we're talking about isolation and loneliness and things like that, when it comes to isolation, I think also just checking and seeing, are they isolating or is this like just a personal preference part? Because the teacher may see I'm isolating, but I'm seeing that I'm just giving myself some space.
I think that, Haley, I don't know if it's my experience with people, but I think that your awareness around that seems a little bit high for most of the people that I treat.
Yeah.
I think most of them are not as aware of what feels like a healthy boundary to them for social interaction. And I know how intentional you are about healthy connection, which probably helps with that boundary. One of what the things I see a lot is that loneliness moves people into this fight, flight, freeze state, right? Where sometimes they're so lonely and then they'll go on social media and they'll seek connections that maybe aren't healthy, that aren't authentic.
That are dangerous, essentially.
Absolutely can be dangerous. And that actually moves them into some unhealthy experiences that can then go to what Taylor's saying is then I have an unhealthy social experience. So now I'm afraid of other social experiences, right? Or I'm going to run away from opportunities and connections. This is especially true as people who live alone and don't have their life set up to regularly interact with people. So this could be an adult who lives alone. If you also work from home and you also do, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and you're not interacting, that's going to lead to some isolation experiences. And if you spend most of your time saying that your social connection is some source of social media, I'm going to very kindly say, no, it's not. Social connection comes from authentic conversation and connection and not reading posts or watching videos. It comes from actual interaction of knowing someone else deeper and knowing being known deeper. And so I really want people to be aware of what it looks like and that it is your responsibility as a healthy adult. We could go a little bit into the drama triangle. You're not a victim here, right? They don't need to rescue you. You've got to create healthy connection to say, how am I going to go in and find what healthy social connection is? And I love the example, Haley, that you gave, because I think that's a really great example of, I don't need everything, but I found the things that work for me.
Mm-hmm. People that often isolate themselves at home the most are teenagers, because something magical happens to adults and they forget what it was like to be a teenager. And then adults are like, well, look who came out of their room. And then that doesn't feel like a very welcoming, seen and heard kind of feel. And so teenagers aren't going to want to spend more time around their family. And also teenagers are in a place where they're exploring more independence. They're getting ready to leave the nest. And parents of teenagers aren't very understanding of that. They're like, why doesn't my baby want to be around me anymore?
Or they are understanding, but they don't just quite get that feeling of constantly having a spotlight on yourself. That's not a good spotlight. And so they're like, yeah, they forget that at times, right? And so,
yeah, the structure and connection is balance is changing.
Mm-hmm.
From when you have a young child to a teenager, and families have a really hard time with that. And so teenagers will separate themselves more and more from that. A group of teenagers that does connection very, very well are the stoner. A gaggle of teenagers are the stoner kids. They're
always the nicest kids in high school. I mean, not always the most punctual or like dependable, but they were definitely the ones who would smile at you before anyone else did.
Yeah, very unassuming, non-judgmental. And so kids who feel rejected by other groups will often find themselves with the stoner kids, like they've fallen in a bad crowd and be very worried about it. So of course they've gone to a place where they feel connected and seen and heard,
mm-hmm.
because they no longer feel isolated, involuntarily isolated. They don't feel rejected.
Can I ask a question? Because as you say that, I'm going to ask this in question form, although I have an opinion. Is there something in that about the idea of I have a group versus I'm actually having quality connection? Because I think while having a group is an important part of socialization, it's not the same thing as quality connection.
Well, yeah, so what Brené Brown talks about with connection is seen, heard, and non-judgment.
Okay.
And so I think the stoner kids do meet the threshold for that. Now, are they encouraging in ambition? And other things like that. Do they have fun outside of substances? Now that's going to be up for debate.
Moral view isn't included in that assessment, but we often like to group it and we'll say meaningful connection. They have to have a good moral standing, and that's not actually part of that. But also considering if you're alone, that connection is going to seem very meaningful, right? If we're going from nothing to that, that's going to seem extremely meaningful and extremely important. So I think it's just being able to be aware of that and saying, okay, it may be the case of looking at that and saying, how do I see this happening? How do I see these things working out, in a connection aspect with this person? And I think the big thing to remember is in the moment when you have no connections and something is offered, that's going to look like a meaningful, and it is going to feel very meaningful.
I also just think as adults, then we can be really aware of other places like sports, teams, hobbies, those kinds of things, to make sure that those are non-judgmental so that people can feel seen, heard, and connected in those places.
Sports teams are just a mildly less violent gang for adults. You got to wear the right colors.
Yeah.
Make sure you're in the right neighborhood.
It's true. Having grown up on the East Coast, it's very true.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we won't go into that further.
Hard to set on fire.
That happens so often when the Bulls were winning the series. So anyway,
oh, gosh.
So the equivalent of the stoner kids for teenagers would be the bar for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is what we get a lot in therapy is that people feel judged in church. Just because at church, we feel like we can't be messy. Make sure that you look presentable. Make sure you don't talk about your favorite sin at church, and on and on and on.
Or then, do, but talk about how you overcome it, right?
Yeah, and give a sanitized version if mm-hmm. you talk about your favorite sin that you've overcome. But then you go to the bar, and if you trip and fall down, or you talk about your favorite sin, you're welcomed, you're seen and heard, you have camaraderie, things like that. And so that's often why people will feel more welcome at a bar than they do at a church. And I'm not saying don't go to church and go to a bar. Like,
What we're saying is make more churches like ours. Just kidding.
Oh.
But really, I think we need to, I think using the term bar way too many times, but we need to lower the bar. We need to lower that of what the connection aspect is. And instead of saying you have to do A, B, and C to achieve the connection, I think it's really important for you guys, you know, to remember that if you're looking at, if usually at the end, we're like, okay, how do we get meaningful connection? How do we get out of, you know, loneliness, isolation? It is about lessening that bar, right? What we're saying about with teenagers,
Is it lessening the bar or lessening judgment and like criticism?
I think it's lessening the bar of what meaningful connection is. I think it's lessening like the bar of saying like, you have to have good morals and upright, you know, standing, and you have to have this kind of monetary gain or whatever it is. Like often, like I know people as adults who very much look at things and say, hey, I can only associate with people who are really in the same kind of grouping as I am. And I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's going to be very vanilla connection. It's not really going to give you the different things you probably are looking for, which you're trying to supplement with numbers of connection rather than the quality of it. And so I think if we in churches, in book groups, in gym classes, whatever, were to approach things in a more relaxed way, in a more, you know, just open-minded way, I think we would have more people feeling connected and we'd have less of a loneliness problem and people isolating themselves or in the end getting isolated because they don't fit the mold of what's expected of them. But that's my soapbox. So Taylor.
Yeah. I'm just distilling a thought. It's coming. I'm not quite sure about lowering the standard for connection as much as communicating more with one another, because I find that all people are messy, and that we're just not as aware of each other's struggles, of our neighbors, acquaintances, coworkers, people in the pew next to us at church. Because I find in therapy, and you two let me know if you have a different experience of churchgoers, that they'll complain about feeling judged at church, but they'll talk about similar things. And it turns out, in my guess, that it's more often the fear of judgment that they may be experienced than someone outright judging them.
Mm-hmm. I guess in the mid-singles ward, in the singles wards, there is a lot of judgment.
So you're talking about a meat market and not a church, normal church experience, because it's like a bar. But it's a religious experience. So that I would say singles wards.
And it's because of that that we don't have any issues. No, I think depending on the atmosphere. I mean, if you go into like an older congregation, like when I lived on the East Coast, you know, going into like a Catholic church that's been there for forever and it's an older congregation, you are going to feel like, you know, I don't know, it's a different social expectation and social thing than going to like a, I don't know, we had like a New Age Christian church that was in the area that was a bit more for the younger crowd. Like there were different social connection aspects that were going on.
Culture to it.
Yeah. Just, so I think it just depends on like what the,
yeah, my best friend was evangelical growing up. So went to his church with him sometimes, did therapy in Kansas City. So met with a lot of Catholics and evangelicals and there. And yeah, that's a good point.
And I mean, age grouping too. I mean, we're looking at a lot of different things. So I think bottom line, it's just, am I being realistic for myself about what I am doing?
Yeah. Sometimes people that go to church and do the judgment of, now I'm only telling you this so that you can pray about this person. And it's really just a church culture accepted way to gossip.
Mm-hmm. We've really gone off though.
I was going to say, you guys, I feel like we're now criticizing church culture,
which I'd love to do for a full episode, but we're not there today.
What I hear from you more is that, and it goes back to Taylor, your definition that you were getting from Brené Brown is that it's seen, known, and accepted, right? And we talked about that with attachment, is being accepted, playfulness, acceptance, curiosity, and empathy are part of how we connect and build deeper connections. And so I think there are some benefits to having groups that have specific shared values. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. having the shared value of not liking someone else's value would be where I would say we cross the line. So if we're all getting together to hate on another group, that goes into the more detrimental parts of social experiences. And I know Taylor knows all the different levels of how we become jerks. But it's okay for your group to have some things that are unique to your group. Not everybody has to be for everyone. And not everybody has to like your group. So if people don't like your group, let them go find the one that works for them.
Right. Like, people give Dungeons and Dragons a lot of crap. But that's just fantasy football. It was a great
movie. I'm just kidding.
It was an excellent movie.
No, I think yeah, it is just about, it doesn't matter what, you know, shirt it's wearing. It's the fact of, like, is it meeting the need, right? You know, you can be wearing a jersey, you can be wearing a cape. I don't know. But is it?
And we would just maybe add safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And as long as it's meeting that need and it's like a safe environment. And again, that follows the Brené Brown standards of what it is.
Which I think kind of goes back to our previous concern you brought up, Jen, about the stoner crowd. Like, is it safe?
Yeah. And I think also one thing to point out too, they may have a common interest in doing something that you may not do, but if the group is not saying you have to do that thing to be part of the group and that you are just there because they like you being there and there's no expectation, I think that helps also promote the healthiness or safety that you might be feeling in that moment, is that if you're part of a group and that there is usually a common theme in the group, but they're not stating anyone has to join that. Right. I think that makes that an even better group to be part of. Not saying specifically go join all the stoner groups. I'm saying just like the ones in high school that may not always look like I'm going to fit in 100%, but you're getting the camaraderie and you're getting the support, and they're not saying you have to do anything to like change to be part of the group and to fit in. I think that's a really great place to be.
Yeah, come as you are kind of thing.
Yeah. To be appreciated as you are.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. If you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.